So happy to be with you this morning and be able to worship with you. And you are very special people. And to worship with you before our God. I'm so thankful for the visitors that we have. Always welcome here at State Line. We are honored to have you. And to just to know, as was spoken this morning, how it is that in a song that we sang, that God shares this time with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ shares this with us. He shares this meal with us. And what a great thing to be able to be a people who can just recognize that. And to recognize that if we're in the body of Christ, that we're forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. And that we have this hope of heaven. And that we can continue to rejoice and just sing aloud and not just the times we're together, but even when we're alone, as far as just to praise God and honor him for the God that he is and what it is that he's done for us. And hopefully this morning that it's in your heart that you just honor God so much because you're thankful for the grace that we've been given. And we've been talking about that recently, how it is that God has shed his grace on us. And it's not of our works, but now then he does wants us to do the work that he's given us, that he's given us a commandment that he wants us to follow. And he shows us in his word not only the things that he would have us to follow, but how to go about and to do that, to be instructed in it. And so we are people that we always want to be instructed in the word of God and to know what it is that he would have us to do. And so I'm so thankful and honored to be able to just to say a few words to you this morning. And as the Lord has been with us, and I hope he is with me as where I deliver this lesson, that it would be something that you can gain something from, that you would perhaps take the words and take them a little bit further and to want to just know for yourself that you're doing all that you can to serve a living God. So I'm thankful to Brother Gail, who gave me this opportunity as well, asking me to speak for him while he's away. We continue in our prayers that he, as he travels quite a bit, and for his safety, and Deborah as well with him. But as we would recognize that God is with us, that we want to be with him, and that we want to be the way he would have us to be, being with him. And so seeking to be those that we want to draw close, and we want to get to the point where it is that, you know, we are able to live with him in eternity in a different state. That we are going to be able to arrive at that when the Lord comes or when it is that I go, that I'm acceptable to him at that time that he takes me. And so we're striving toward that. In Psalms in chapter 15, it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So that's one of the things as far as that, you know, I want us to think about this morning as far as our walk and doing these works of righteousness, and that we are striving to be an upright people, that we are to be a true people, that we're true men, as Joseph's brothers proclaimed as they were before him, and he's questioned him, that, yeah, we want to be true. And the thing about it is that they considered themselves to be that, but we know that there were some things in their heart that they had done things that were not right. The same thing can be with us, that, you know, we present ourselves as those true men, that we're seeking to be upright and speaking the truth, but we have to really look to our heart, that we don't want to have, because we do have at times things that are there that we need to make changes in, that we want to recognize that. And that's all that God requires of us. That we recognize those areas where it is that we may fail in, and that we go ahead and to correct those things. That we, if need be, that we make confession to him, and that he's faithful and just always to forgive us. And so people that, you know, we wanted to speak the truth always in our heart, to ourselves first, to our God, and then to each other. Because if we're not first honest with ourselves, then we're not going to be honest like we should be with God or to each other. And so that's the thing as far as that we want to strive toward. In Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And so he chose us, you know, as far as, you know, there's a certain way that the Gentiles walk and that perhaps we walked. Most of you, you became Christians early. I have a more difficult time at that because I was a few decades in before I began to live a life of Christianity. And so there were things as far as that way that were definitely in me that I had to take away. And I thank God so much that I was enlightened and able to see the truth of the Word of God, because I had fought against it for so long. And I thank God that he opened my eyes to be able to see. But the thing is, as far as he's encouraging us in this, because if we're not careful, we can walk backwards. We can go back and have some of these things kind of slip in where it is that we're the light that he's given us, we allow it to dim somewhat. And that's a part of living Christianity. That happens from time to time. And then we see it. He shows it to us, and then we correct ourselves. So we don't want to become alienated from God. We want to be with him. We want to be chosen, not only now as we're chosen, but in that day we want to be chosen, because, and hear those words that, well done, good and faithful servant. You corrected the things that you needed to when you made those things right, and you endeavored to continue and endure. It says, in 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what he's telling us is this is an ongoing process. It's just not something as far as that we do one time, but it's an ongoing process in our life as far as that we are always to be putting off concerning whatever was former in our conduct, or whatever that perhaps sometimes we can get caught up in the world around us and what they may be doing and acting and thinking. And then we see that and we recognize that in us, we put that away. It's not to be a part of us. And that we be renewed in our minds, in the spirit of our minds. And that you put on the new man, that God always revealed to us what that is through his word. And that's where we go to be corrected. If we are not in God's word to the extent that we should be, then we may miss out on some things. Because it's the light. It's what lights our path. It's what shows us the way. And I'm so honored to be with the people who are dedicated to hearing the word of God and being present. And not only that, but as well, engaging in the things as far as of what we can learn out of the scriptures. And that's so wonderful. By that, we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. We see the man that we should be, which is created according to God in true righteousness. And the way the ESV relates that is to be like God. And so think about that as far as, you know, how God tells us that he said, be holy because I'm holy. And so we might say, oh, you know, I'm not like God. But that's what we're striving for. That's what he wants us to. That's how he wants us to be. Now, we're not going to become gods, but we do the best. That's all God requires of us, the best that we can. In living according to what it is that you would have us. And 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And not that, you know, any of us are going to contrive a lie to tell, to say, you know, to try to deceive, but, you know, and what we're presenting and how we're presenting ourselves is a way that sometimes we can be dishonest. I know myself as far as, you know, sometimes I don't like to feel vulnerable. And so I present myself in such a way that, hey, you know, I'm good, but actually I may not be. And there's different reasons for that. And so we deal with that because we want to present ourselves to each other the way we present ourselves to God. God knows who we are what we're thinking, what we're doing, how we're doing. He knows all of that. And, you know, sometimes as far as because we have a care for one another, that yet we can be vulnerable and just be as we are. Hopefully that all we're going to receive is just encouragement. And I know that some of I get that from you, and that's very good. And I try to give it back in return, because that's the way God would have us to be. That's the, I guess an example is Timothy, you know, where we had the scripture reading in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. And I'm going to read again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And so Paul has said here, you know, he's given his authority to teach and to speak the word of God. It's from God and Jesus Christ. And then it says, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. And this letter is written to Timothy, but not only to Timothy, because, you know, we've got it here. It's for us. And it was for those people at the time where Timothy was in Ephesus, you know, and there's certain things that we can see in the book as far as that relates to them as well. And so he speaks to Timothy, his true son, and he's given him the authority in this, you know, to teach. And that's what he says. He says, I urge you in verse 3. When I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, though give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than the godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to idle talk. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And so Timothy was given authority to teach, and authority is taken away from some people to teach because he was to charge or command or instruct them not to teach any things different than the true doctrine, and not to give heed to certain things that were ineffective, that were not edifying. And I've been instructed myself in years past, you know, as far as, you know, just teach the gospel. Because sometimes I get passionate about certain things, and when I get an opportunity to speak, you know, I'll speak about those things, but they may not be edifying to some. And so, yeah, I've been corrected and instructed in that more than one time, and maybe even again, because I get passionate about certain things, and there's things that they're affecting me, and that lesson perhaps need to be to me. Not to bring it to anyone else's attention. And so I'm learning. And hopefully as far as there's the areas in your life that you can say, even though that you may not have been instructed in this thing, there are areas in your life where you say, yeah, I'm learning. You know, I'm learning. I'm making changes. You know, I'm instructed and I'm corrected. But the thing that I want to bring out in these particular verses is that he gives them this charge. He gives them this commandment. He is to be there to be instructed. He gives a charge to Timothy, and Timothy is to carry this out. And what is the purpose of it? The goal, the aim, the purpose, the instruction of this is love. All the commandments, love fulfills all the commandments of the law. And so as these particular teachers, as far as they, it goes on how it is as far as they you know, they lack an understanding. And then Paul says the law is good if it's used lawfully. And so there's something as far as, you know, about the law and about, I think there was Gnosticism as well, as far as trying to creep in by these false teachers. But, you know, they were trying to teach the law, but they didn't even understand the things that they were affirming because the law, love fulfills it. Christ's commandment is what? To love one another. John, in the first John, it's all about love. And how do we love in the way that God would have us to? From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Not one that's hypocritical, not one that's not a faith that's not really true, but sincere. And so, as Timothy were to teach these things, as for the thing that we see about it, you know, his ability to teach this is because he was actually doing pretty good in this particular thing of having this love. We see in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, he says, but he wrote to the Philippians, says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that is a son with his father. He served with me in the gospel. And so we see Timothy, Timothy loved out of pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Paul had a mind as far as he had a care for all the churches. Timothy had a care for the brothers, and there was no one that Paul could send that was more like-minded than he was that would care for them. And caring, it comes from love, loving. So he's a good character that we can look as far as to strive to be like, but we, the others that he speaks of here, the all that he speaks of, they seek their own, not the things of Christ Jesus. And I don't think that any of us can look at our life as far as we're and find that there's areas of our life where we're seeking our own and not the things of Christ. I find myself lacking from time to time when it is that perhaps I've said, you know, I'm going to call this brother and seek and encourage them, and then find out that rather than doing that, hey, I did my own thing. I got caught up in what it is that I thought I needed to do for myself. That happens. It's not where we, you're so terrible, but it happens. And it's something as far as that we can strive to work on. Now, my working is going to be difficult, more difficult than yours, because the way that my mind works, that I have a difficult time focusing. And I can get, Maddie tells me, you do something, and yeah, I'm going to do it. And then 15 minutes later, she said, did you do that? Oh, no, because I got caught up in something else. And do I love her? And do I want to do those things that I say that I'm going to do for her? Of course. But we get caught up in our own things. But, Timothy, he was more minded on the things of others. And that's what we are encouraged to do. You know, not our own things, but to be of a mind as far as to care for the things of others. And that's what we want to strive toward and to work on and to seek to have it come forth. And so when I don't, that's the time to examine my heart. Well, why? Why not? Is there something else that's hindering me? The things of myself as far as that I'm seeking to be involved in, are they always things that are pure? Or perhaps not. And perhaps they are. But it's just something as far as that we can strive toward and make changes in. Because Timothy was a man of a pure heart. I'm in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 22. Timothy is still learning. He's being encouraged by Paul in some things here. And so he says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pure heart is developed, as we see here, in community. It's developed, it's nurtured, grown, and it's promoted in the community of believers. So we together, because we all are striving toward the same thing. We all have the love of God. And so we then want to encourage each other to do the things, to say the things, to be motivated by the things that are of God. And so Paul here, he's doing it. He's encouraging Timothy to pursue these certain things, to flee useful lust, the things that are not really important. As we've heard this morning, to be those as far as that are striving toward what is good and right, rather than just involved in our own things, which are just things as far as that we have a desire, we have a lust for, and especially if those things lead us towards sin. Back in 1 Timothy, he in the latter part of the chapter, verses 18 and 19, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Now that's where the warning becomes very strong. that if we don't engage ourselves in love out of a pure heart and a good conscience, when it is that we allow our conscience to be affected and we do nothing about it, we don't make the changes. We see that there are things that are showing us, and we don't make a move to do anything. We don't try to grow or overcome those things or change those things or to confess sins, repent from sins. If we don't do those things, then we can be like some who suffer shipwreck. And he mentions to here Hymenaeus and Alexander that he's delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Because when we allow, you know, ourselves to, just a little bit of impurity, we allow conscience to be not as it's not to be clear and good and holy, then a little leads to a little more and just a little bit more. And that's, we're going towards shipwreck, perhaps not seeing the obstacle, the ice that's there that we're about to crash into. A little later, I'm going to talk about an example of that shipwreck. But the purity is what affects a good conscience. In 1 John in chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So sometimes it's a little bit of self-examination, examine ourselves whether we be in this faith, that our faith is sincere. And God will show us areas. If it's not, that'll be shown to us. And where it's not will be shown to us, and we can see it, and we can make the change. But if our hearts are right, as we examine ourselves, and then we have confidence with God. You know, when things go well, that's when it is that we're confident. Everything is going all right, and we have confidence. We don't have to worry about being vulnerable, or we don't have to worry about insecurities. And, you know, that's the thing that I have had issues with, you know, in myself, just insecurity, you know, and am I measuring up? How do people feel about me? And that's just not good, but that's something that I've had to work all my life, I think, especially coming up in a young mother who, because I've looked at, what causes this? You know, well, my mother was, she was overprotective when I was a kid. And I had a race proxy by my grandfather, and he let me know at times that, you know, I just didn't measure up to the Garrett name. I had a young sister that was a year and a half younger than me, and I was kind of weak, but she was a tomboy. She can do anything, and I couldn't. And I don't know, maybe those are some of the things that affected me, but I know that I can remember one time, and I know I'm going to end this shortly, but I remember one time as a young man going hunting with my grandfather. It's a great thing. One of the men in the community had asked us out, you know, to his peanut field. He had picked his peanuts, and it was dove season. So we went out there and we're hunting. And the wind is high that day, and it's late in the season. The doves are coming in high, and they're flying. They don't fly in a straight line. They dip and dive because they know they've already been shot at. And they're coming in high, and they're going toward the other part of the field. And so a lot of shooting and not many doves falling. But at the end of that day, we got together, this fellow that, I don't think my grandfather, either I, we didn't care that whole lot for him. But, you know, he asked us to hunt. But he said, you know, well, I got six. What did y'all get? And I think, I didn't want to seem like, you know, I wasn't a good hunter. You know, I was like, what are you going to think of me if I didn't? So I said three. I didn't get three. I hadn't gotten two. I lied just to make myself look better because I was insecure and I had the pride because I didn't want to. It would look like, but then my grandfather, he said, he got two. And I said, well, you know, I'm not a better shot than my grandfather, no way near. He was a great dove hunter, and he was known, he had gotten three quail out of a covey. He was much better. I may have been a better shot with a rifle, but a shotgun, no way. And so McGraw, he kind of looked at me, but then he didn't say anything. When we got home, I put down my hunting jacket, and he picked it up. And he reached in the pocket, and he pulled out two doves. And he said, "Where's your third dove?" I'm thinking, was he watching me when I picked him up? And you know, but he knew that I had not been honest. And sometimes we think, you know, we're not honest and we think we get away with it, but you know, God sees it. He knows it when we are. This is the same thing that happened with in Acts in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They saw that, you know, people were selling their property and bringing it and giving all the funds to the apostles. And so what did they do? Evidently they wanted to be thought well of. And so they sold their property and laid it at the apostles' feet like that was all the money. But it wasn't. But Peter said to him in verse 3, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price to the land for yourself?" And he let him know, look, it was yours. It was yours before you sold it, and after you sold it, you got the money. It was all yours. They could have just given a portion, but they wanted to look better than they actually were. They didn't think that, you know, well, if we keep part of the money, they're not going to think well of us, evidently. And so they pretended. And that's what we do sometimes. We pretend. And we're not honest, too. But Ananias and Sapphira, you know what happened to them? They both dropped dead. They were shipwrecked. Well, in Philippians 3:3, it told us that, you know, Paul says, we have no confidence in the flesh of what we can do and how we can do it. We are not to be concerned about that. Our confidence is to be in God, and God will give us the ability to do what we need to do. Money. When things don't go well, we become insecure. Google, aren't you so glad as far as, you know, when you're searching for something, you can go to Google and you don't have to look through a lot of websites. You can just go and it gives you that AI summary. Tells you everything you need to know. Don't you love that? I hate that. You know, it's good, but the reason why is because before they did that, I was paying like $200 or $300 per lead. And then when Google did that, click-throughs went down by 60%. All businesses, not just mine, but all businesses, it went down 60%. And so my lead costs went up as high as $950 per lead because of that. And my business is not doing as well as it was when I was getting those cheaper leads. And now I'm looking at this business may fail. And then I'm thinking, I can't fail. You know what people are thinking of me? I've had a business and I let it fail? Pride. I don't want to be looked at that way. But businesses fail. That's part of the process. And you go on to something else. Am I going to have confidence in that? And that's who I am? Or am I going to have confidence in God? And who God is and what God has the ability to do? That's where our confidence should lie. And if we let our confidence lie in God, then there's none of these things that are preventing us in our purity, in our good conscience, in our sincere faith. And then we'll be able to be those that bring forth from that love. That's what God wants of us. That's what he requires. Because we don't love him if we don't. We don't love ourselves if we don't. The only way that we can actually be those that can bring forth these things in our life is if we're in Christ. They don't really come, and we don't. When we obey the will of God and do the things that He tells, there's great benefit in that. He says that, you know, there's some things we do and we store up for us treasure in heaven. But if you're not in Christ, there's no benefit. Any things that you may do that are good. And so the thing is to submit yourself to Christ. Yesterday at flea market, a lady, I got to the point of teaching her about baptism, and she just kept trying to get me to say this one thing. You know, I was sharing this, and she was seeing what I was saying, but since I didn't say that, what she was wanting is that as soon as I say this particular thing, that she's going to shut down the conversation. So she said it herself, pretty much, took something I said and made that it, and then she just shut it down. She tried to get me to say that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. But I knew what her purpose was. And I kept trying to show her, you need to repent and be baptized to get your sins washed away. And that's the thing, as far as it's needful, not looking at things as far as, you know, in a negative sense, but what's the positive? Here it is that God loves you and he gave his son to die for you. And that shows how much he loved you and how much he wants you to do the thing that he says. Just repent, turn away from your sins. Just decide in your heart that you want to live for God, not for yourself, that your confidence is going to be in him and what he has done in Christ, and be baptized and get your sins washed away. So consider that if there's any need for that, just ask anyone. You can come up if you like as we were standing sing, if you have anything where it is that you need to correct in your life, if there's anything that you need to bring before the church, if there's any prayers that you need from the church, just come up as we sing this morning. Thank you.
I think about a long time. I really.